What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
So we've got an incredible series planned for you guys. I want to pray. And I want to pray with authority in the name of Jesus. So if you would, bow your hearts and your heads for me. God, we love you tonight. God, we thank you that you are capable of softening our hearts. God, I pray that every single person that can hear my voice right now would have a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. And God, as we talk about things that are uncomfortable, God, one of the most important aspects of our life is to love and to be loved. And so, God, as we talk about this sensitive subject, God, I pray that our hearts would be soft to your word. I pray that we would have a supernatural maturity as we talk about difficult things tonight. We love you and we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen, amen. I love you guys so much. The first thing I want to do before I jump right into God's word is I want to say, if you are a student at Smith Station High School, we have been praying for you as a staff very much. I know this has been a very difficult week for that community and also for the community at Cascade Hills. And so I just wanted to throw it out there. If you're a student there and you need to talk, you need prayer, we would absolutely love to be here for you. And God is our ever-present help in time of need. Amen. When we are brokenhearted, he comes close to us. And so I wanted to communicate that before we get into God's word. Who's ready for God's word tonight? Awesome. Tonight we begin a new series that we call Love Games. Tomorrow we celebrate the concept and the emotion of love. Ooh, hey. Some of us will be excited about Valentine's Day. Others of us will anticipate the day being over as soon as possible. Can I get a witness? Jesus is my boy. No, sorry. Some of us will wake up tomorrow with anticipation, the pitter-patter of your heart. Oh my goodness, what is my bae gonna do for me? Others of us will view the day as a dark shadow of despair looming over our existence. Valentine's Day. Love is something, this is the reality, love is something that all of us desire. All of us anticipate love, and whether we choose to admit it or not, love is something we all need very deeply. We need love. God is love, and we all need God. He is the very essence of love, and there is a God-shaped hole in all of us. That's a cool song. Anyways, back to the 70s for a second. I had my first kiss in pre-kindergarten. Woo! Y'all, I have my first kiss in pre-kindergarten. It's really awkward right now. So this is what went down. I don't know if you've ever experienced something like this, but I think many of us do stupid things to get noticed by people we're attracted to. And so I was in pre-kindergarten, and I thought, you know what? That little girl is very attractive, and so I'm going to do something that she can't help but notice me, and I thought I would do the cool thing, like slide on my knees across the gymnasium floor. I thought I was going to go from baseline to baseline, like rockets were going to be flaming behind me, like, look at me, and I ran as fast as I could, as hard as I could, and I took off and I slid across the hardwood floor, and in that moment I realized how badly I actually needed pants, because I had shorts on and I didn't realize that hardwood in shorts would produce a great deal of pain. I had a severe burn on both of my knees from the friction that it produces between my knees in the hardwood, and this girl that I was trying to impress was so sweet because she noticed the wincing, menacing look on my, the pain in my eyes, and she noticed, and she, I swear, I looked right at her, and she looked right at me, and she was like, oh, and she walked up to me, and she leaned down and gave me this sweet little kiss on my cheek. Oh, it was this first kiss, y'all. It was so cool. My cheeks turned red, girl. And so she consoled my pain in the moment, but before y'all get all judgy and stuff, y'all do stuff all the time to try to impress people, and it's stupid. You already have regretted some of the outfits you wore to try to get him to look at you. You forgot that the World Wide Web is permanent, whether the Snapchat generation that you live in thinks it's gone in 24 hours. You can still get to it. So even though you still are trying to impress that other person with all of your shenanigans, all of us have a story that they regret. Amen? Can I get a witness? How many of y'all have done some stupid things to impress somebody? So the Bible, God's word tonight, this is very important. God's word gives us a powerful and clear definition of love. This is true and perfect love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Love doesn't dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Love always hopes. It always perseveres. And my favorite, love never fails. That is love. This type of love, I suspect this is what God wants us to walk in. And this type of love that God intends us to walk in, it's safe to say the love games we play today don't look like biblical love. The love games that we play don't look or feel or sound anything like what I just read. The world we live in has got the game twisted. The game is twisted. It projects a version of love that is far from genuine love. Tonight, the evening before Valentine's Day, God wants to help us see what real love looks like, real life. Tonight, I want you to know that God has a true and perfect love planned for your life. Many of the ladies have already finished planning their dream wedding. Come on, ladies. Y'all with me? Y'all got it. Can I tell you, the guys in the room haven't even thought twice about that. Come on, gentlemen. We've not been thinking about it whatsoever. Some of us have already made some mistakes. Some of us have made some serious mistakes in love games that we play. Others are just hoping for a chance to be loved. Tonight, I believe that God desires for us to win the love game. God desires for you to win at the game of love. God desires for me to win. There's a future He has in store for all of us that has a happy marriage in your future. God wants you to have love that will never fail, as 1 Corinthians promises us. A happy marriage that brings life and strength to who you were created to be. A helpmate that is going to have your back no matter what. A helpmate that's going to support you and be the best support system you'll ever have. Amen? Proverbs 4:23 says, above everything else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. The heart is the wellspring of life, another translation says. So we've got to guard our hearts. Our romantic relationships matter, real life. When Jubilee and I first started dating seriously, we went to this church service together. And it was really, you're going to have a good relationship, you better be at church. And so we were at this service, and there were some guest speakers, and it was this couple. They were like a power couple where they both preached a little bit, and they tag team. It was like he spit some fire, and then he'd be like, psh, you go, girl. Hand the mic, and she started preaching, and she had this prophetic bend to her, and she literally, in the moment, we were sitting in the middle of the room, and all of a sudden, she's preaching God's word, and she points at Jubilee, And she asks her to stand up to prophesy over her. It was real charismatic, y'all. And so Jubilee stands up and gets a word from this lady, and she looks at her and she says, if you marry a mediocre man, you'll have a mediocre ministry. And I go ahead through the authority that God has given me to the ladies in this room. I say the same thing to you. You try to connect yourself with someone who's mediocre, you will have a mediocre life. It was a powerful experience. In other words, she was saying who you connect yourself with will either open doors or prevent you from living your best life. And what does the verse in Proverbs ultimately communicate to us? It communicates this: who we love and how we love will determine if we accomplish God's will for our lives or not. Who we love and how we love will determine if we actually accomplish God's will for our lives. Our romantic relationships matter. So I want to look at a few stories in God's Word for the next couple weeks. And I want us to notice how they teach us to play the love games God's way. The Old Testament, the context of the passage we're going to read tonight, is God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham is considered the father of faith, and God said to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And the problem was Abraham and his wife were really old, and they could not have children. So it didn't make a whole lot of sense in the moment. God, why are you promising me a generation of a lineage when I can't even have one child? And long story short, God intervenes and Isaac is born, a miracle son. Isaac was the answer to his prayers. He was a fulfillment of the promise that God had given them, a perfect expression of God's love for them and their love for one another. And a strange thing happened when Isaac was a little boy. The strangest thing, God spoke to Abraham and said one of the weirdest requests in all of God's word. And God tells him to go and sacrifice Isaac, his son, on the altar. That is weird. And God was saying, take the very thing I promised you and give it to me completely. Take the very thing that I promised you and give it to me 100%. See, Real Life, you need to hear this tonight. God wants us to experience fulfilling love, and God wants us to trust him completely with our heart's desires. He wants us to trust him completely. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm sure it didn't make much sense when God told Abraham to do what he told him to do. But here's what the scripture says in Genesis 22, starting in verse 3. It says, early the next morning, there was immediate obedience. Abraham immediately obeyed God. Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac, and he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. He set off for the place that God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, y'all stay here. I'm going up with the donkey and with the boy, and we're going over there. We're going to worship, and then we'll come back to you. Pastor Jonathan, what in the world does this have to do with love? I'm glad you asked. I believe God wants us to see from this scripture tonight that a key to winning the love game is being able to trust God even when it makes no sense. One of the keys to winning at the love game is to trust God when it makes no sense. If we're honest with ourselves, many times our emotions don't make a lot of sense. I mean, sometimes am I the only weird person in this place? I wake up in the morning thinking to myself, where did that thought come from? There's a reason God's word says we have to take every thought captive. To be honest, our emotions don't make a lot of sense. The scriptures say that our hearts are actually deceptive above all else. We deceive ourselves because we think we love something, and really it's not love, it's a counterfeit. We're called to trust God with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. We all want love and we all want to be loved, and God has promised a future ahead of us that is filled with love, but we can't expect to be trusted to walk in the promise without first trusting God. He is the very essence of true love. And if we don't trust Him first, we can't experience true love. And if our relationships are not founded and centered on trusting God, we will not win the love game. That's a great place to say amen. Our hearts, this is why I say that. If we don't trust God first, our hearts will be shattered into pieces over and over and over and over again. And that is not what God wants, and that's not what we want you to experience as you grow into adulthood, real life. We don't want you to walk brokenhearted. We want you to be fulfilled. Man, if our relationships are not founded and centered, we're not going to win. The Bible warns us from being unequally yoked. What does that mean? That's a weird term. I've never used the word yoked. It says not to connect ourselves with people who don't love Jesus like we love Jesus. That's the literal translation. This means that if your significant other doesn't trust God while you are dating, and when life is good and everything is magical and there's butterflies in your stomach and it just feel you feel electricity when you just hold his hand for a moment. Woo! If he don't trust God when things are good, guess what? He won't trust God when things get bad. When things get hard, instead of trusting in the Lord, walking by faith and not by sight, he's going to walk out the door just like Daniel did in that play. If your significant other is unfaithful to you and to God now, guess what? They will be unfaithful to you and to God when you're married. They've got to start a foundation now, or probably they're probably going to be unfaithful before you get married if they're not faithful to Jesus. God gave Abraham a strange command. He said, go and sacrifice the very thing that I promised you and the very person that I supernaturally provided for you. God said, trust me with that one thing that is closest to your heart. Give it to me fully and completely. Real life, this Valentine's season, God is communicating to you and to me that if we're going to win the love game, we must trust the authority of God even when it makes us uncomfortable. We've got to trust the authority of God in our lives even when it makes us uncomfortable. We are going to keep reading the story, but before we do, I want you to recognize that God speaks through authority figures in your life. I don't know about you, but I don't all the time hear God's audible voice like Abraham did.
I don't hear Jonathan.
No, I have authority figures in my life. I've got a pastor. I've got multiple pastors in my life that I hold myself accountable with. They speak into my life. And I want you to know, people like your pastor, like your parents, like your leaders here at Real Life, God has placed them in your life. And guys, I can save many of you a lot of heartache and a lot of pain if you trust this principle that I'm about to say. If your mom or dad or a person God has placed in authority in your life says no to a romantic relationship in your life, you need to let them go. If they say no, let them go. You gotta memorize that. They have a perspective and a life experience that you have never been able to walk in yet. They've been brokenhearted before, and they can see it coming. And if they look at you and they say, hey, guess what? That relationship, there's something toxic about it. I'm warning you. I'm not forcing you, but I'm telling you, you better let her go. If you have somebody in your life that is an authority, a parent, a loved one, a pastor, saying that, run as quickly as possible. They see something you don't. They have an understanding of what real love looks like that you do not. The purpose of them warning you is not to hurt you or to make your life miserable. It's to help you see that something great is coming in your future and you shouldn't settle for anything less. See, we will always win the love game by placing God over everything else. If we place God first, man, we're going to win the love game. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said it very clearly, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. God was telling Abraham's heart, and he's asking us to check our hearts tonight. This story goes on, and it says in verse 9, it says, when they reached the place that God told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. I want you to picture that. Man, this little boy, bound in ropes, placed on an altar, about to be sacrificed. He bound his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand, took up the knife to slay his own son. But an angel, this is so powerful, in the moment he was about to plunge the knife down, the angel called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, and because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son, I know you fear me. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That was the promise God gave Abraham because he obeyed when it was uncomfortable. See, guys, there's a positive and there's a negative lens to view this through. It can be seen as twisted. Man, that is sick. Why would God call him to do such a twisted thing? Or it can be shown as a beautiful expression of faith. And as I was studying this somewhat strange passage, God showed me that some of us are willing to sacrifice anything for God. Some of us are in the position of life where it's like, I want nothing more than to please you, Jesus. Some of us in this room are there. You're at that place in life. But others of us are sacrificing the very promise that God has placed in front of us for temporary satisfaction. Some of us have placed the promise that God has given us of purity, of a future, of a great relationship, of a great marriage. Some of us are sacrificing that on the altar for temporary satisfaction. Some of us are doing the hard thing and guarding our hearts above everything else so that we can have something good in our near future. But others of us are unwilling to do what it takes to experience real love. So you see, the story of Abraham and Isaac teaches us that real love is willing to give up a gift that's ultimately not ours. Real love is willing to give up something in front of us that seems like a gift right here and right now, but it's probably not even ours. Can I just be real for a second? Man, most of the romantic relationships I had in high school failed. I thought they were for me. God, you blessed me with this beautiful girl. She turned out to be crazy. It happens. Isaac was a gift from God. He was a fulfillment to the promise of Abraham, but he was still the Lord's. Isaac still wasn't Abraham's, he was God's. Can I tell you tonight, and I want you to be mature. I want you to act like young adults for a moment. Can I tell you tonight with authority, sex is a gift from God and it's not ours. It's not ours. In our culture, there seems to be two types of people, two paths to choose from. There's those that say, God, I'm willing to sacrifice my sexual desire on the altar because I know you've promised me something great. These are the people who guard their hearts. They fight for purity. They abstain from sexual sin. They guard their eyes from because they realize that the eyes are the windows of their soul. They run from pornography. They obey the voice of God. They unfollow people who post sketch stuff. They obey the voice of God and lift the knife, willing to do the hard things that don't even make a lot of sense. Man, nobody lives like that. Nobody deletes Snapchat because it's poison. Nobody deletes their Instagram because they can't stop looking. Nobody sacrifices those things on the altar because it's free and it's available. Nobody's doing that, but some people want it bad enough that they're willing, even when it's uncomfortable, to sacrifice it on the altar and obey the voice of God. Those types of people do those things because they want what's best from the Lord and not something superficial or temporary. Man, the other path is a more painful type of game to play. The sacrifice that happens is not what God intended at all. This path takes advantage of every moment. This path takes personal fulfillment over sacrificial love. This path crosses clear boundaries that were never intended to be crossed until a covenant commitment is made. Here's what I'm trying to communicate as the band comes as I close. This is what I want you to hear tonight. Too often we sacrifice what is promised or what's permanent for things that are so temporary. God never intended for us to cross some boundaries that many of us in the room have already crossed. God didn't intend for you to lose your purity at such a young age. I'm referring to our purity tonight. And when we make plans to hook up, hear me, real life, I'm being real right now. When we make plans to hook up and we send messages to one another that are vivid, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. We are literally lifting up the knife, ready to sacrifice the promise God has for us in our future marriage. We're willing to sacrifice something that is so perfect and God designed for a temporary moment. When we use a secret app that looks like one thing but is really another to view content that our eyes should never see, we are lifting the knife, sacrificing something permanent for a temporary thrill. When we place our hands on one another and cross physical boundaries that were meant for marriage alone, in those moments we lose the love game God intended for us to win. And we sacrifice some precious things for something that is fleeting. See, Abraham loved his son. I want to invite you to stand. Leaders can come. I know it's the last few moments have been heavy, but this is real. Abraham loved his son. Abraham dreamed to be a father. Many of you are dreaming for the perfect husband to walk into your life. Many of you are hoping that you can be a man of God that is worthy to see a beautiful bride walk down the aisle one day. Abraham loved his son. He dreamed to be a father, but he was willing to obey God with the very thing he wanted most in life. And I believe God wanted me to speak on this unique story tonight to help express to you and to me that what we hold on to tightly can be taken from us. But what we release to God will prove we can be trusted with it. What you try to hold on to and say, you know what, stop telling me how to live my life. Stop telling me how to do my day to day. If you hold on to it and say, you know what, don't get in my business. God, don't get in my business. Don't worry about what I'm looking at. Don't worry about how I communicate. My relationship with him or her is my relationship. Get out of my stuff, God. When we do that, when we try to hold on to it with a tight grip, I promise you, it will be taken from you and it's going to hurt. But if we come to God and we say, you know what? Whatever you want me to do here, it's yours. I give it to you freely. Have your way. Whatever you want, whatever your will is, open-handed, this isn't mine in the first place. It's yours, God. When we do that, man, that's when we get such fulfillment. That's when we get the best gift God can give us. Man, I have been married for almost 16 years because I finally came to the point where I released my relationship with Jubilee and I said, God, it's yours, not mine. And he trusted me. He gave it back. That's what we want for you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.